The world is filled with powerfully communicative musicians. But every once in a while, an artist comes along with something beyond the norm, someone who leaves a legacy that's unique. And Bach's music, more than any other, has the ability to illuminate that power. Oboist Peggy Pearson has specific memories of one such musician.
I tear up just thinking about Lorraine, and there was something about her intensity combined with incredible skill. She was intense about working, intense about performing. I've just never come across anything like it.
Lorraine Hunt Lieberson was an extraordinary musician whose life and work are remembered around the world. But memories of her have a special significance in Boston. You'll hear more about Lorraine Hunt Lieberson from Peggy Pearson, as well as composer and conductor John Harbison, coming up on the Bach Hour. Hello and welcome to the Bach Hour from WCRB, a part of WGBH Boston. I'm Brian McCreath. Lorraine Hunt Lieberson left us too early, passing away in 2006 at the age of 52. She was born in San Francisco, but some of her most soulful performances were given in Boston, with Emmanuel Music and conductor Craig Smith. And now, Peggy Pearson, one of her collaborators at Emmanuel and elsewhere, has released a concert recording that features Lorraine Hunt Lieberson in Bach's Cantata No. 170, Vergnügte Ruhe, beliebte Seelenlust, or Delightful Rest, Beloved Pleasure of the Soul. You'll hear that performance, along with the thoughts and memories of Pearson and John Harbison, later in the program. And in the meantime, you'll find a translation of the Cantata 170 when you visit us online at classicalwcrb.org. That's where you can also hear this program and others on demand and learn much more about Bach. Again, that's at classicalwcrb.org. The Cantata 170 is a piece Bach wrote in the heart of his career as a sacred musician. 20 years earlier, when he was a young musician, Bach wrote a keyboard work filled with both an exuberant bravura and poetic insight. A perfect piece, then, for French pianist Lise de La Salle, who recorded the piece when she was just 16 years old. This is the Toccata in D Major, here on the Bach Hour. Pianist Lise de La Salle has grown into a perceptive, sensitive, and virtuosic musician who's a regular guest of presenters and orchestras all over the world. But in 2004, she was only 16 when she recorded this performance of J.S. Bach's Toccata in D major. That's a duet originally written by Bach for the pipe organ and performed here by the duo of Katarina Lichtenberg and Mike Marshall, playing, respectively, a mandolin and a mandocello, which, as you might guess, is an offshoot of the mandolin pitched in a lower register. Welcome back to the Bach Hour. I'm Brian McCreath. You can learn more about Bach and his music when you visit our website, classicalwcrb.org. That's where you'll also find this and past programs available to hear on demand, as well as interviews, videos, links, and other resources to enable your own explorations. Again, that's all at classicalwcrb.org. In 2006, one of the most remarkable artists of our time passed away at the age of 52. Lorraine Hunt Lieberson began her musical life as a violist, but found her true artistic identity as a mezzo-soprano, largely through performances in Boston during the weekly Sunday Bach cantata performances at Emmanuel Church in the Back Bay. One of her collaborators there, oboist Peggy Pearson, has just released a concert performance by Lieberson with the Greenleaf Chamber Players of Bach's Cantata No. 170, Vergnügte Ruhe, beliebte Seelenlust, or Delightful Rest, Beloved Pleasure of the Soul, with proceeds from the recording going to the educational program of Pearson's Windsor Music. When I met with Peggy Pearson, along with composer John Harbison, both of whom knew Lorraine Hunt Lieberson well, I began by asking her what's probably an obvious question. Is there a way that you can encapsulate what you felt her impact was on audiences who heard her in any given setting, whether it was a large opera house or a small chamber setting? What was it about her voice that grabbed people and pulled them in?
It's hard for me to describe. I tear up just thinking about Lorraine. And there was something about her intensity combined with incredible skill. She was intense about working, intense about performing. I've just never come across anything like it with any other performer that I've known personally.
John, you worked with Lorraine, certainly in the context of Bach's music at Emmanuel, but I think, would I be correct that you worked with her as a composer as well?
Oh, yeah, good deal.
And so from a composer's perspective, when you encounter an artist with that power of charisma, what does that do to your perception of your own music?
Well, the charisma, I think, is a result of how prepared she was and how committed she was to just giving her best performance. I did a few things on the road with her. She did a premiere of a piece of mine called North and South in Chicago. And I actually heard her practicing quite a bit. She practiced detail in a way that I think the listeners could probably not even imagine. So what sounds spontaneous when she sings is really her doing it exactly the way she hears it, the way she wants to do it, because she's actually ready to do it. So I think one of the things that, you know, singers at Tanglewood often ask me about her, because she recorded quite a few of my pieces, and I worked with her a lot. I always try to tell them, if they're always wondering what's the secret, there's no secret except that she was the best prepared and the most musically educated singer that we've had in a long time.
Well, and as it turns out, that for all the wonderful things that Lorraine sang, recorded, performed, Bach remains something for which she is especially known. And I wonder, John, what you feel about Bach's music that brought out the best in Lorraine?
Well, she's a really good musician, and she was capable of evaluating the quality of the piece that she performed.
And this is a piece that it just feels like it was written for her.
Tell me why that is.
Well, it's about sin, about renouncing sin, and it's intense. It's incredibly beautiful, and it also is joyous in some ways.
That's Peggy Pearson with John Harbison, remembering the unique qualities of mezzo-soprano Lorraine Hunt Lieberson, especially as those qualities informed Bach's Cantata No. 170. It's a piece that opens with one of the most beautiful and calming arias Bach wrote. The text translates as, "Delightful rest, beloved pleasure of the soul, you cannot be found among the sins of hell, but rather in the conquered of heaven." That calming vision of heaven is immediately challenged by its opposite, namely, life on earth. And it's not a pretty picture. As the soloist sings, "The world, that house of sin, erupts only in hellish songs and attempts, through hatred and envy, to carry Satan's image upon itself." It's a cry of pain, which Bach magnifies by leaving out any musical foundation, resulting in a desolate, unmoored sense of insecurity. To a believer, the cure for that insecurity is the leaving behind of earthly life for reunification with the divine in heaven. That comes through vividly in a recitative and aria on the words, "It sickens me to live longer. Therefore, take me away, Jesus. Let me find this dwelling place where I myself shall be at peace." Remember, you can find a translation of the text for this piece at our website, classicalwcrb.org. Here's Bach's Cantata No. 170, Vergnügte Ruhe, beliebte Seelenlust, or Delightful Rest, Beloved Pleasure of the Soul, in a concert performance by mezzo-soprano Lorraine Hunt Lieberson, oboist Peggy Pearson, and the Greenleaf Chamber Players here on the Bach Hour.
Thank you.
The cantata number 170 by Bach, Vergnügte Ruhe, beliebte Seelenlust, or Delightful Rest, Beloved Pleasure of the Soul, in a concert performance by mezzo-soprano Lorraine Hunt Lieberson, oboist Peggy Pearson, and the Greenleaf Chamber Players. This recording, released by Peggy Pearson with the proceeds supporting educational work that Lieberson herself felt was a core mission of her art, adds to the handful of recordings that document the work of this remarkable artist. And according to Peggy Pearson and John Harbison, that catalog is an important legacy in our understanding of Lieberson's impact.
I think that she had it was like a cult following. And I know that people are clamoring for anything that is out there. I saw a clip on Facebook that I had never heard before, and it just blew me away. It was an encore from a recital that she did in Chicago, Baghdad Cafe. And I listened to it every night for weeks.
It's good, I think, that her work is still of great importance, because it was an exceptionally realized career. There was no sense that she didn't get to where she was trying to get.
John Harbison and Peggy Pearson in a conversation with me about Lorraine Hunt Lieberson. There's much more of this conversation, and you can hear it when you visit the Bach Hour at classicalwcrb.org. Let's return now to the duo of mandolinist Katarina Lichtenberg and mandocellist Mike Marshall. Here are duets, originally for organ, in E minor and G major, here on the Bach Hour. Thank you. two duets by Bach played on the mandolin and the lower-voiced mandocello by Katarina Lichtenberg and Mike Marshall. Remember, you can hear this program again and much more at our website, classicalwcrb.org. Thank you for joining me today, and thanks also to audio engineer Antonio Oliart-Ross. I'm Brian McCreath, and I'll hope to have your company again next week here on the Bach Hour.